I'm doing well. Here's our sim tonight. We'll catch up. We are one third of the way down on Chav Vav Amud Beis at the words of Amar Rava. I'll give you a moment to find it. Third of the way down of Amar Rava. And here we're going to be interfacing with everything we've learned so far and all of the halachos you violate when you don't do your job as a yid. Amar Rava, Ra'a Sela Shenafla, you find a coin that falls. Natla, if you took it lifnei yeush, which basically means right away, because the Rishonim here write that we assume that a person is mamashmesh b'kisa b'chol sha. So, in order for you to pick something up before yeush, I mean, if he's mamash, it has to be before the next time he's mamashmesh b'kisa. So, it's happening right away. So, if you do that, and you do so almanas legozla, and you do so with intent to steal, so you made a kinyan, as it were, you picked it up to steal it. Then over bechulan, you violate all of the halachos in this area. Mishum lo sigzol, mishum hashev to shivim, mishum lo suchal lihis. So there's the iser lav of lo sigzol, an iser ase of hashev to shivim, which you missed the opportunity to do, a bittul ase, and mishum lo suchal lihis, which is an iser to not return. So you hit the trifecta. Ve'af al gab, even if you returned it, even if you gave it back after it all took place, you're an avarian. So let's say I did all of this, I stole it the second, and then I gave it back to you, a day later. It counts for one thing of the Heshivis Gazal, but you still violated all the other Isurim. Now it's not an Aveda anymore because you stole it. So the other Isurim still apply. Natla Lifne, let's say in fact, same timing, you stole it right as it fell from his pocket. However, it was Almanas Lahachzira. Your intent was good. It was to give it back. But Niskavin, but once he checks his pocket and he realizes that he's dropped this coin, your intentions change. You're like, you know what? I kind of like the feel of this coin in my pocket. And you decide you're going to keep it. In that case, because your decision to steal was only after the Yeush, your Isurim have changed. Over Mishum Hashev Teshivim. That's it. You haven't violated the other two. And that's its own discussion. Himtin lo achin. Let's say he waited. He sees the coin fall. He's watching from afar. And he sees, the coin fell. Hopefully the guy will walk away and I'll go pick it up. And he sees the guy gets 100 feet away and then he checks his pocket and he realizes he's dropped it. So then it's Nisyashua Bailam Eno over Elamishum Lo Sucha. He only violates the Isra of not being responsible for giving the item back to the person. Omar Rava, Hayman Dechazi, Denafal Zuzi Mechav. If a person loses a coin, a coin falls from their pocket in sand. So they're walking the beach and they drop an expensive coin, the ashkeche, and I find the coin and I pick it up. So the halacha is lo mechayev la'ahadrele. I do not have to give it back to you. There's no din of hashavas aveda in this particular case when it's in sand. My taima, because sahu denofal minei meyayeshu, it's going to automatically be yeush because afal gav dechazye, even if we see the original owner. And he comes back to, I say, Arbala become Arbel. He comes back with a sifter for sand and he starts sifting the sand. You know, he's one of those guys with those beeping machines, you know. He comes back. We still don't assume that he's come back for his own item. We assume, Omar, ki hechi denafu minoi didi hachi nafu mi'inish achrina, mishkach na midi. He's just a coin collector and he knows that a beach is a great place to look for things, namely. This is basically like a Rishus HaRabim because there's just so much stuff in sand. I don't want to ruin your next vacation, but sand is disgusting. So it's filled with stuff and it's gross. What? Yeah, it's disgusting.
What vacation? Say it weird.
Yeah, all true, all true. So this guy, he was Miyai. He's like, oh, can I leave it on the beach? Oh, forget it. I'm definitely Miyai. And again, we see him there an hour later with his little sifter. He's not even looking for his own stuff anymore. He's just looking for coins. That brings us to the next Mishnah, toward the bottom, two-thirds of the way down, a little bit more, on Chavavim Amud Beis. Matzah b'chanus. Let's say that you find a lost item in a store. Harei elu shalom. It's yours to keep. However, bein hateva u'lechenveni shel chenveni. If it's from the table where that separates the store from the storekeeper and the storekeeper. Let's call that the counter, right? I'm envisioning 7-Eleven. So if I find a lost item on the floor by the aisles, I can keep it. But if I find an item behind the counter where the workers stand, that's Shelchen Beni. And similarly, when it comes to the people who are the people who change out money, Lifnei Shulchani, Hare Elu Shelo. If it's in the open space in the store of a Shulchani, you get to keep it. Beina Kisei Ula Shulchani, Hare Elu Shel Shulchani. However, if it's on the side of the Shulchani, if it's on his side, we didn't discuss the table itself, which is going to be a discussion in the Gemara. If I find a lost item on the desk in 7-Eleven, who does that belong to? We're going to discuss that today in the Gemara. But the Gemara only discusses in front of, where the masses shop, and on the other side where the staff stands. But what if it's in the middle? We'll discuss.
But is there assume that where the staff stands, that is, it has to be theirs, or that the area itself is
Kohen? It says it's Shel Chen Vini. We assume he owns it.
We assume that he owns it and they drop it, right?
Yeah, we assume it's his. It's not this. It's not even in the realms
what
of...
What are you doing on the upside of 7-Eleven?
Fine. That's what the Gemara is saying. It's that you shouldn't be there.
The whole concept of, if the store owner, like, why can't it be that whatever is left to do that becomes used in my store is mine? Automatically, you do not make... You not have the right. It's your private domain. Why is it...
It's not a private domain.
The store owner, it's not?
It's Rishus HaRabim, in a way. It's a Rabim, whatever the language is.
It's commercial space.
Yeah. You're pulling real estate terms. Gerald, no one's buying a building in here right now. So it is an interesting space from a halachic perspective. I mean, it's not Rishus HaRabim in the classical sense, but anyone can walk in. I know, but it's not like your house. I can't walk in. That's also more accurate and historically speaking, but it doesn't matter because your house is very, I can't walk into your house without knocking. 7-Eleven, you can walk in whenever you want. Did you see the crime yesterday that was done in a 7-Eleven in New York? Some guy took 12 eggs from the back, pelted the guy behind the counter and stole a bunch of things and walked out.
Yeah. Eggs, as long as it's not worth like $900, he's not going to jail anymore.
Unbelievable.
I think it's $900 in New York. You don't get prosecuted. You steal less than
$900. It's ridiculous. All right, so that's what we've been discussing in regards to the store model. Lifnei shulchani hare elu shelo, bein hakisei ulo shulchani hare elu shel shulchani. Halokeach peros mechavero, if I buy fruit from a friend, osha shilach lo chavero peros, or I send peros to my friend, umatza bahen maos, and mixed into the basket were some extras. I noticed some coins. Hare elu shalom. No din of chazara. The coins are yours. Im hayut sarurin. However, if they were wrapped up, they were in a little baggie, whatever the case may be, in a wallet, no telu machriz, then you have to be machriz. It's an interesting language of being machriz in this. I know exactly who it belongs to. So what's
right?
It should be machzir.
So we assume that even if it falls out of a bag, that the bag is the simon? And that person couldn't have dropped the entire bag.
You're creating a new case. This case was not that. This case was, I bought a basket of fruit and I found 5 quarters at the bottom. The qualification of the Mishnah is that if the 5 quarters that I found were in a Ziploc or were in a wallet or were in a purse, then I have to return it. All right, the Gemara says that this din that we have in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu munachan al gabe shulchan, even if it's on the table that separates me from the seller, even then, hare elu shelo, it would still be the same din, says the Gemara Tanan. We have a Mishnah. Lifnei shulchani hare elu shelo. What does that imply? Ho al gabe shulchan de shulchani. That implies, so now we have a stira now, because the line of Rabbi Elazar in the beginning is his own tsushtel. But when you're medayik from the Mishnah, it doesn't seem to be like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said it's still hare elu shelo. The problem is that if you say lifnei shulchani hare elu shelo, then ho al gabe shulchan de shulchani, and ema seifo, that also would be a problem here because bein hakis elu shulchani shel shulchani ho al gabe shulchan shelo. So again, we have opposite inferences from our Mishnah. It's very difficult to analyze our Mishnah to try and figure out about the table that separates me from the seller. So we've seen this in Shas many times. That sometimes we try to make diukim from a Mishnah, but when a Mishnah has perfectly opposite diukim in the Mishnah, it means that the Mishnah was not meant to teach that din. That's what the Gemara says here as well. Eight lines from the bottom. That is a diuk you're not allowed to make over here. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he wrote this Mishnah, when he wordsmithed it, yes, you're making a diuk, but it's a diuk you shouldn't be making, because by virtue of the fact that you can make opposite diukim in the same Mishnah, it means that that wasn't his intent.
How is that like a lot? It's perfectly normal for money to be.
Who says it could be a puppy? Who says it's a lost? That doesn't have to be anything from the store. It could be any. It's obviously not an item from the store, I would say. Saying if it's, you know, I know David likes the Texas rolls. You were telling the cinnamon rolls. So in 7-Eleven, that's how they make their money from people like David. Yeah, they really make their money on the Dr. Pepper, but we can discuss that later. So if you're talking about an item in the store, that's I'd imagine that's not what we're talking about. I think we're talking about an Aveda. We're talking about something that doesn't belong.
Something
they don't sell. It has to be something that they don't sell.
Did they get a commission on lottery tickets?
Five cents a dollar?
$0.05 per dollar
on sale
that they sell, and then a small percentage of whatever the winning is. Up to a max of like 50,000 or something.
Yeah, it's 1.1 billion.
Right there, I'm sorry, but I just want to wrap it up. 7-Eleven.
Okay, let's go. So the Gemara says, all right, look, I understand we can't make this diuk from our Mishnah. If so, where did Rebbe Elazar get his din from that the table belongs to the person who's visiting? Hare Elu Shelo, where does that come from? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Elazar, ha minale. How does he know this din that he said at the open of our Gemara, that afilu munachin al gabe shochan, that Hare Elu Shelo? The Gemara says, Amar Rava. The answer comes from Rava. Mas nisim kshise. He had a difficulty within our Mishnah, and because of the difficulty within our Mishnah, we therefore concluded that that in a case where it's on the shulchan, hare elu shelo. What was the difficulty? The tani bein hakisei l'shulchani shel shulchani. That we said that if it's between the chair and the shulchani, meaning between, well, we were using the word table. It's an interesting turn of phrase. It must have been what they called it in the shulchani. So there we said it was shel shulchani. Why didn't you just say lisnei ala shulchan? Just say what you mean. If it belongs to the shulchan, then say the shulchan and beyond. Don't say beyond the shulchan. Just be more clear. Inami, or you could say matzah b'shulchanos. Kedekatani resha matzah b'chanus shelo. Ella, it must therefore be shmami afidu munachan al gabe shulchan arelu shelo. Because the Mishnah didn't say the easier, more clear option, it must therefore be like Rabbi Elazar said. So Rabbi Elazar was trying to make the same diuk from the Mishnah, but not diuk in words. But I guess it is a diuk in words, but not what we thought. He was making a different diuk, that because the Mishnah didn't take the easy route of saying that the Shulchan and beyond, rather it said only beyond and didn't reference the Shulchan, therefore Rabbi Elazar has his din. Two lines from the bottom, Alokech Peres Mechavero, Amar Reish Lakir Mishum Rav Yanai, Lo Shanu, Ela Belokech Minat Tagar. If you're buying from a merchant, top of Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Aval Belokech Mibala Bayis, Chayav Lahachzir. That's only true in regards to the payrolls, that you can keep the money when you buy it from a merchant. So you buy your apples, you find your 5 gold coins at the bottom. You can keep it if the person who you bought it from is a tagar, is a merchant. He's a door-to-door salesman. Aval belokech mibala bayis chayv lahachzir. By the way, the language changes here. Our Mishnah had said earlier the different language of notel u'machriz, and here the language is lahachzir, which is a little bit more pashut. I don't know that I'm right about this language distinction, but it does strike me still that the language in the Mishnah is weird. And here the Gemara doubles down and says, look, well, the same thing is true but with the next Marim Makom. When can I keep the 5 gold coins I find at the bottom of the basket? So that's only true, says the Gemara, when I'm buying from a Tagar. Aval belokech mibalabais chayv lahatzir. Omer le Rav Nachman, v'chi balabais ba'atzmo doshan. You think the coins automatically go back to the Bala Bais, and that's okay, to the Tagar, you get to keep it. But if it's Bailam, you have to give it back to the Bailam. Who says that it belongs to the Bailam? Who says that he's the one who put all the product inside the basket? Maybe a worker did it and it's not his money. It was probably somebody else. He probably had a worker. Amarle says, well, that's a great point. Ismay, would you like me to erase this Brisa? These are big Shilas. Just like that. These are big shilas. I remember at this point in history, who's talking now? So Reish Lakish, it's an early Amora. So the Brai says, at that point, the only things that were organized were Mishnayos and Toseftas. The Mishnayos were written before 220. And Levi and Bar Kapora, who were the next generation, they were Talmidim of Ra, of Rebbe, they organized the Toseftas. So we had two out of our four Tanaic sources organized. Brisas were like chaotic a little bit. They still are. We only have them. We don't have them in one organized place. I don't think we've ever seen it. Do we have a sefer like that? Did anybody sit down and organize all the Brisas? I don't think so. I don't think we... What? What? Could be, but we, did anybody take the ones we have in Shas and just write them in a book and say these are the Brises? Yeah, that's a great sefer to write by. It might exist. I've just never heard of it. I don't know. Anyways, that's why this language seems a little flippant. It's not really flippant. It's just Brises were new, so they weren't sure which Brises were MS. So he said, Isme, do you want me to erase this? So the Gemara says, no, I'm really low. Don't do that. Tatargim Masnisin, explain it like this. Kigon Shadoshan al Yadei Avdo Veshivchaso Haknanim, that as long as the people who did the Deshan were Goyim, it doesn't matter. They're my employees and they're whatever, they're my Avadim. And therefore, whatever they own, I own. And therefore, the Shaila is removed. That, of course, leaves an implication in the Gemara that if we don't erase the Brisa, that if the person who in fact did the Deshan was another Yid, then you would not have to be Machzir the coins. So that would change. The keeping of this Brisa would change the Mitzias of Halacha. That brings us to a new Mishnah, and we are on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, about seven lines down. Af ha-simla ha-isa b'chlal, when it comes to a simla, when it comes to a garment, that's also part of the world of Ashava Saveda, and it says, af ha-simla ha-isa b'chlal kol elu, is part of all of this, referencing the pasuk that speaks, as we will soon see, about simla, about chamor, shor, se, a whole bunch of things were quoted in the pasuk. V'lama yotzas, why is it that a simla was added to the pasuk? Why? Okay, just say if you lost an item, who cares about the simla? So says the Gemara, because we're learning some basic principles out here, out of the word simla. Lahakish eleha lomar loch ma simla miyuchedas sheyesh ba simonin veyesh ba latovin. Just like a garment is unique, not all two garments are the same. And veyesh latovin, someone is likely to claim a garment. Today things are different. When they bought an outfit, they wore it every day for years. You know, now we throw out our clothes regularly. Or we donate our clothes regularly. Mm-hmm. Every few months, I could go through our closet. My kids, for sure, donate bags of clothes. It's unbelievable. We don't really have the same sensitivity. But in the Mishnah, it's Pashut that they were Toveh. That's my tunic. That's my toga, whatever they wore. That's mine. And everybody knew. So therefore, what we learn from the Simla is these two principles. We learn that Simonim, that it has Simonim and it has Tovin. Af kol dabar. So what else falls into the category of Ashava Saveda? Anything sheyesh bo simanim v'yesh lo tovim, chayav lahachris. You have to have those parameters. If you're missing those parameters, l'chora, there's no obligation to be machris. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that weird language at the beginning of the Mishnah of bichlal kol elu? My bichlal kol elu. What does it mean that a simla is bichlal kol elu? Omar Rava bichlal kol avedas achicha. To say that it's part of the regular halachos of Hashava Saveda, to make sure that we know, again, the klalim as mentioned in our Mishnah, that anything that has simanin and anything that has tovin, those are the things that we are going to include in the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda. Omar Rava, lama li dekasa rachmana shor chamor seva simla. Why did the Torah go out of its way to say four things? There's two different psukim. One says shor and chamor. One says se and salma. So why did the Torah just say four things? You just told me in our Mishnah that there's a baseline principle. If there's simonim and if yesh tovin, if there are people who are going to claim it, then we have a Shavas Aveda. let's say you lost an apple. First of all, there's no simonim. And second of all, there's no tovin. Like, it's an apple. You just this happens all the time. I come home, I could have sworn I bought four apples. This happened to me in my car in the summer. I knew I bought the kishka. Couldn't find it. A month later, under the seat in my car. Not gishmak, by the way, I might add. Not gishmak. I did. I just didn't know what was going on. I don't know. I found one of my kids. I don't know what was going on. But I found it. Anyways, says the Gemara Tzriche. The Torah had to go out of its way to teach us Shor Chamor Se and Salma. Because of Rachmana Simla, I should say. Because of Rachmana Simla, if we only had the example that our Mishnah highlighted, which is the example of a garment, where we have witnesses about the garment, and we have simanim on the garment. But it would be different with a donkey, because nobody recognizes one donkey from the next. You can't tell the difference unless you're like a guru. but the average consumer cannot. And therefore, with a chamor, it's be'edim de'ukaf. We have witnesses about the saddle. Oh, I remember the color of the saddle. It had an insignia. It had a brand on it. B'siman de'ukaf, and the signs of it. I might have thought, therefore, that a chamor is in fact different because we're not identifying the chamor itself. We're identifying by its accoutrements, by the things that are on it, by its garments, by its saddle. Therefore, I might have thought it would not have been included. Therefore, kasav rachmana chamor, dafilu chamor, b'simane ha'ukaf, that is going to be enough to identify. Very, very interesting din. Why would that be? It's extraneous. It's external to the animal. We'll discuss that a little bit later.
External, but it changed.
Potentially. The Gemara is going to ask that question as to why we rely on a feature that is not be'etzem, the item. Right? Says the Gemara, Shor v'sed the kasav rachmana lamali. Okay, you explained why we needed simla, and you explained why we needed chamor. But why do we have shor v'sed? So says the Gemara, lost my place. Oh, lamali. Shor v'sed the kasav rachmana lamali. Says the Gemara, da'afilu, to teach us, legizas zenavo, to teach us that even the hair that's shaved from the tail is valuable, and viseh legizosav, and a seh for all of its regular shearings. So which one of these is more mechudash? I mean, it's so weird, the gizas zenavo. I can understand why you would need a pasuk to include that. It's a weird place to shave the animal on its tail. Weird. So therefore, the seh legizosav is much more normal. So the Gemara calls this out. V'lichtov rachmana. We're just about halfway down on Chav Zayin and Aleph. V'lichtov rachmana shor de'afidu legizas zinavo. V'kolshken se legizosav. I don't need two psukim for that. Just teach me the mechudash one, and I'll know the obvious one. If you bring me a pasuk that teaches me about the hair on the tail, if the hair on the tail is part of hashava saveda pashut, that all of the shearings of the animal, the regular shearings of the animal, are included. We're yidden. It's a basic kal v'chomer. We don't need help. Well, we need a lot of help, but not with this. So says the Gemara, Elo Amar Rava, you're right. Chamor debor the Rabbi Yehuda, the Sed Daveda le Divrei Hakol, Kasha. This is a throwback to Maseches Bava Kama, that the Chamor, the word Chamor, teaches us about that which is damaged inside a boar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ayin Sham, we're not going back to this Sugya. And the word Vised Daveda le Divrei Hakol, Kasha. Nobody knows what that word is for. It's an unbelievable thing to see, even in the times of the Gemara, that it was coded. They did not know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that word in the Torah. We still don't know. That's incredible. With all of our analysis, maybe the Rishonim chat didn't learn the sugya properly. I don't know. Just on the surface level, seems pretty odd. So says the Gemara, well, maybe I could come up with a suggestion, says the Gemara. I'll tell you what the word seh comes to teach us. Ve'ema liglalim huda'asa, to teach us that an animal's droppings are valuable. People buy manure all the time, and they use them regularly. We learned previously that people would put their garbage outside so that people would step on it and the mud would get all over it so that we could use it in order to fertilize other parts of our property. So says the Gemara, no glolim afkure mafkirlu. Without even negotiating, the Gemara says that nobody does that. I don't know why anyone would not do that. The Gemara just takes it at face value. Rashi says, "Avkure mafkir lehu le misha tarachbo velo asakra le ribu yainhu de ein lo tovinhu." So the Gemara, Rashi gives a halachic answer. There's no tovin. No one would ever say, "Oh, you had my animal. Let me collect the droppings." We're not familiar with the culture, but that was apparently the standard back then. So therefore, the word se is still left over. Vidilma le simaninhu de asa. Now we're going to get into another sugya. The sugya we're about to get into, and it's going to cover some ground between now and the end of the day, is whether or not simanim have a status of a din d'oraisa, yes or no. This is a big sugya, as we'll soon see. So maybe the word seh, says the Gemara, is coming to teach me that simanim are d'oraisa. The iboilan, there's a general question of simanim d'oraisa o d'rabanan, and kasav rachmana seh, d'afilu b'simanim mehadrinan, that even when it comes to a seh, we would... even when it comes to a get, for example, mehadrinan, we would give that get back, or any item that has a simon on it, mi de'oraisa, we would give it over. And we'll see soon the nafkaminas in regards to this. Says the Gemara, v'simanin de'oraisa, and therefore we would see that the word se would teach us that it's a din de'oraisa. And the Gemara says, not so fast. Amre, mi de'katani lehu, tana le'simanin gabe simla, דקטני, מסימלוס מיוחדת שיש בה סימן ויש לה טוב וחייב להכריז, אף כל דבר שיש בו סימן ויש לה טוב וחייב להכריז. שמע מינו, דה סלע בסימן ודעה. So we already learned this idea. If what you're saying is that says coming to teach us that siman in our del raisa, go look at the Mishnah we learned at the top of the page. We already said that from the word simla, we learned two features about the mitzvah shava saveda. It needs to be that there are siman, and then it needs to be that there are tovin. So what do you? The word se doesn't come to teach us. Elalav, it must be that we don't know what the word se comes to teach us. That's the Gemara's conclusion. And when it comes to the analysis of the Torah, we do not know what this word is being used for. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis have taught us in a brisa. We're at the two dots, two-thirds of the way down, a little bit more on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to go a little bit more than halfway down on the next Amud. I hope we're doing good. Asher Tovad, Prat Le'aveda. When we say something is lost, so what does that mean? That when anything is lost, we have the mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda. Prat, except for the following case. La'aveda she'en ba shava pruta. If an item is lost, and it doesn't have a value of a shava pruta, which let's just say it's less than a dime, let's say it's 5 cents, whatever it is, so then there's no mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda. It doesn't mean that it's not the other person's item. It just means that there's no mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda. It doesn't mean we shouldn't give it back. It just means that you don't get a mitzvah d'oraisa for it. Like everything else in halacha, there are shiurim. You want the mitzvah d'oraisa to eat on the 9th of Tishrei. You have to know what the shiurim are. You gotta, whatever it is. And any other mitzvah we do has shiurim. So prat, la'aveda shem b'shava pruta, that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, the Pasuk says, u'matzasa, prat la'aveda shem b'shava pruta. They say the same exact thing. They both hold the same thing. One says that from the language of Asher Toved, when something is lost, that it has to be a Shava Pruta. One says when it's found, it has to be a Shava Pruta. Either way, they both have the same din, that the mitzvah of Ashava Saveda has to be with a Shava Pruta. So says the Gemara, Mai Beinayu. They're saying the same exact thing, same din. Why bother repeating? So obviously, we already know a basic answer that they learn the psukim differently, Pasha. One of them says that it's from the pasuk of Sher Toved, and the other is from the pasuk of Umitzasa. So it says the Gemara. Answer number one, Amar Abaye. Mashmos Dorshinika Beinayo, how to learn the pasuk. Mar Nafkale me Asher Toved, Umar Nafkale me Umitzasa. Well, that's Abaye's answer. What do you mean? We just look at what they said. Well, it's not a secret. The Braiser writes what the difference is. Is that according to the Tanakhama, we learn from Asher Toved, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learn from Umitzasa. So says the Gemara, Ulamanda Nafkale me Asher Toved, according to the Tanakhama, Hay Umitzasa my Avidle. What does he do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda uses to teach the same din? So says the Gemara, Hahumi Boile Lichadravnoi. This is a din that we learned a while ago, both in this Masechta and in the previous one. Da'amar Avnoi Umitzasa, Da'asai Liyode Mashma. Rashi here brings the din that we saw over there, that if you pick up an item that belongs to a guy, once you pick it up, you might have a chiyuv to return it. Afalpi that they're not achichahu, afalpi that they're not yidin, afalpi. That might be the din of Rav Nai, that we may have a din of Hashavas by a guy. So that's what the Tanakhama does with Umitzasa. Says the Gemara, Ulaman de Nafkale mi Umitzasa. According to Yehuda, who learns out that a din of Hashava Pruta is the lowest threshold of Hashava Saveda, so and he learns it from Umitzasa. Hi, last short line. Hi, Asher Toved, my Avidle. What does he do with the pasuk of Asher Toved? Says Gemara, Mi Baile Lichad Reb Yochanan. From Reb Yochanan, Mishum Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. Minayin LaAveda Sheshot Fanar Shimu Teres. How do we know that an item that was swept away by an overflowing river or by a current or by a tsunami that someone else is allowed to keep it? Shneamar Kein Tasel Chol Aveda Sachicha Asher Toved Mimenu Umitzasa. And what does this pasuk mean? Misha avuda himenu umetsuya etzel kol adam. When do we have a mitzvah d'oraisa to do Hashavas Aveda? That's when there's an item that's lost that's typically found. Yatisazu. However, when something is washed away by a flood, the item is not typically found. What happens there? Shavuda himenu ve'enu mitzuya etzel kol adam. Yes, you luck of the draw. You found the gold bar that floated out of the guy's yard. There's no Hashavas Aveda there. The only time we have Hashavas Aveda is when the loss is normal and the finding is common. But if the loss is uncommon and the finding is a fluke, so then we don't say there's Hashavas Aveda. So that's what we do with the Pasuk of Asher Toved, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Pasuk of Asher Toved teaches us the din of Shatva Nahar, that's your Pater. From Hashavas Aveda. I the Idach, flipping the Shitas, how does each one learn the others? Hadar of Naim Minole, according to the Shita that doesn't learn Rav Noi from Umitzasa, namely Rav Yehuda? Where does he know the din of Rav Noi, that if you pick something up you might, that belongs to a guy, you might have a chiyuv of Ashavas Abeda? Minaleisa says, "Gemara nafkalei mi Umitzasa." He learns it out from Umitzasa. The idach. What about the other shita? Had Rav Yochanan minalei nafkalei mi menu. He learns it out from the word mimenu. Be'idach mimenu lo mashmalei. And the other person doesn't learn from the word mimenu. And shalom al Yisrael. So basically, it seems that nobody really disagrees with the what. We're just disagreeing with the drushes. All of this is shitas abaye in our understanding of the braisa, the two dots of the two shitas of Sheva Pruta. However, seven lines or so from the bottom, Rava Amar, no. Pruta shehuz la'ika beinayhu. The nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda is if you have a pruta whose cost has gone down in value since the time it was lost. Manda amar me'asher tovei ika. He says, well, when it was lost, what was it? It was a pruta. So you're good to go. Mitzvah Shabbos Abed. Now it's worth half a pruta. Don't care. We measure the moment of value at the time of Aveda. That's what the Pasuk says, asher tovei. Umanda amar mi'umitzasa. The one who measures based on umitzasa, that's Rabbi Huda. So he says, Leka, there, the value when you find it, it's only half a pruta, so you're putter. What are you going to do? The pasuk doesn't say what you say. It still says it has to be found, so you can't just ignore its value at the time that it's found. Says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. Ela pruta shehukra ikabeinayu. Perhaps we're talking about a pruta that increased in price from the moment of loss. When it was lost, it was half. When it was found, it was a pruta. Because at that time, because the price went up, so now when you find it, it's worth a pruta, so therefore there's a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. Said the Gemara, this doesn't work either. You got to look at the psukim. The psukim say it was lost and it was found. You can't keep coming up with these cases. It has to make sense. So then the Gemara finally comes up with a case that it actually accepts. And the girsa here is a little bit complicated, and we're going to rely on the Hagos Habach. And the Gemara says, Ela Pruta, join me on the side here, Shehuzla v'chazra v'hukra, where it got cheaper and then it got more expensive. So that means at the moment of loss, it was worth one. Then the price went down to half. And then when it was found, it was one again. That's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda. And let's look at it here. Ika beinayhu. Manda amar, two lines from the bottom, asher tovah, the Tanakama holds ika. He says, yes, it was this value, and no problem at all. Manda amar mitzasa, Rabbi Huda says that at that time, that it's not going to be Shavapruta. That's because, ba'inan the east bashir mitzia mishasa vedava ad shas mitzia. He says, if there's ever a dip, even in one moment in time, if the market says that this item is below one pruta at any point in the journey, even though when it was lost, it was a pruta, and when it was found, it was a pruta. But if the market dipped just below that line where it's 0.9 of a pruta, so then there's no longer a din of Hashavas Aveda, even though today it's worth a Shava Pruta.
Something about some pruta is so insignificant that it's automatically assumed there is a built-in use. And that's why if you know that the market value drops, maybe there's no use, but if it drops under that threshold, then there is use.
I totally hear what you're saying. It makes sense to me. I just don't know. Usually shiurim are not like that. Usually shiurim are just kind of like kind of categorical, but I totally hear you. I'm just looking quickly now to see if anybody talks about it, but I don't see anything. Yeah. I don't see anything. Yeah. I don't know. Now, Rashi doesn't seem to reference it. A great question. I don't know if it's just like this is the Torah shear and therefore it is what it is, or if it's okay. All right, let's jump into this bigger sugya now. We're at the very bottom line of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Do we say that a simon, as it relates to the need to return an item, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbana? My nafkamina. So Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? The Gemara responds, La'ahadure get isha b'simanim. The nafkamina would be as if a get is the lost item. Do we have an obligation to return it based on simonim? I amris de oraisa, if you want to say that simonim are de oraisa, mehadrinan, and then the woman will therefore be divorced. You're returning the item, she's divorced. The amris de rabbanan, and if you say that the institution of simonim is only a din de rabbanan, then ki avu rabbanim takanta bimamona, we wouldn't have extended the concept of simonim outside of the world of mamonis. And therefore, aval bi isura lo avu rabbanim takanta. So we don't know. If it's a din de oraisa, it applies across the boards, leis man de public. But if it's only de rabbanan, the Gemara's assertion is that it would only apply by mamonis and not by isurin, and therefore you wouldn't return the get, and therefore she wouldn't be divorced. So simon and de oraisa or de rabbanan have massive nafkaminas in the space of isurin. And in this particular case, the example is get, but it's any case of isur, because we can't really learn one from the next. So Tashma, let's try and ask and bring some proofs. We're on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, four lines down. This is our Mishnah. Why did we specifically highlight a simla to teach us ma simla miyuchedas sheyesh lo siman v'yesh lo tov and chayav l'achris af kol davar sheyesh lo siman v'yesh lo tov and chayav l'achris. This was our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us that we have two features that seem to be the requirement for Hashavas Aveda. One is that there are simanim, and two is that there are people who are interested in the item being returned. So what do we see from our Mishnah? That simanim are d'oraisa. That's the assertion of the Gemara. The Gemara says not necessarily. Really, Tana Tovin, it's Trichale. Really, the case of the simla was only brought because people need their clothes back. We see this all the time. One shoe left in a car, one shoe on the street. How did you get home? What happened? So like when we see those things, they're very hard for us to understand. That wasn't their culture. They had one pair of sandals. Whatever they had, it wasn't, we're in the whole different world. So the Gemara says it's only about Tovin. It really wasn't about Simonim. And Simonim kidei nisba, it only was Agav. So maybe perhaps in our Mishnah, it isn't Deo Raisa like we thought. And therefore, that's not a good Mari Makam to learn from. Let's try answer number two. 10, 12 lines down, Toshma. Chamor besimane ukaf. What did we say? We said on the previous page, the reason why the Torah used the word chamor was to teach me that I'm allowed to use an ukaf, the saddle, as a simon. That's a pasuk in Chumash. State, it's chamor. Therefore, it must be that they're a din d'oraisa. Says the Gemara, I mean, perhaps, but perhaps it's not the simonim of the ukaf that we're using. Perhaps it's the ede ukaf. It's witnesses who know what the ukaf is. Why is that not simonim? Because it's edus. It's not that it's not simonim. It's that the simon isn't by itself. It's not in a vacuum. It's with edim. Let's try the third Mari Makom. Toshma. The pasuk says that it is with you until it is not with you. We don't give things back until there's a proof. Ela darshehu. We have to research the guy who's claiming that it says imram mayhu. Oh, eno ramoy. My lab is simonim. When you're giving back an item, you don't talk to the guy. Oh, this is your iPhone? Sure, here you go. No problem. No, of course. What color is it? Yeah, give me some details. Give me something that's specific to your phone. Otherwise, I'm not giving it to you. Pashut. So obviously, simanim have to say, we're not talking about simanim. Perhaps that Bryce is also talking about Adam. Let's try again with source number four. This is talking about Nebuch recognizing dead bodies. I mentioned on Shabbos that I was in Machane Shura when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and they had to go through this process of using DNA from critical body parts as opposed to non-critical body parts. Horrible, horrible, horrible. This Gemara would not shtim with that because our DNA has to hit a threshold in halacha. But back in the day, if someone, Nebuch, was decapitated, what would you do? You wouldn't know who it is unless there was something really telltale. It says the Gemara, in regards to identifying a person, in Me'idin Ela al Partsuf Haponim im Hachotem, you need to have their face along with their nose. And Afal Pishiesh Simonim Begufo Uvekelav. This is true, even though they may have a unique feature on their, I have a unique birthmark on my left arm. Okay, so then maybe they'll say, that's a unique birthmark. No, Shma Mina Simonim Lav Do Raisa. Oh, we see from here that the simen, you need your face with a nose to be identifiable. Otherwise, the simonim don't work. We see simonim are not deoraisa. Says the Gemara, no, Amri, no. Kufo de aruch the goats. When it comes to identifying a body that's tall or short, there's a lot of people who are tall or short. He's 5'2", he's 6'1", who cares? That's not helpful. And Kalov dechayshinin l'she'ela. His clothing, that's really not helpful because perhaps chayshinin l'she'ela, perhaps he borrowed the clothes. Yeah, people go to the kotel, they try to get around the din of tearing kriya. I'll be makne your shirt to, yeah, it's a shtiklach. We should be tearing kriya every 30 days. Even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't see the Kotel HaMaravi in 30 days, the Har Yehuda, you should be tearing it. It's a we're obligated to tear Kriya. So says the Gemara, maybe we switch clothes. That's why clothes are not a Raya. Says the Gemara, well, Ishaishina l'sheila. If you're worried about Sheila, this was David's question earlier. Chamor b'simane ukaf heche mehadrinan. I've been to farms where I've seen them take off saddles and put them on other animals. But what does that mean? Amri, the Gemara says, Ukaf lo sheuli inish ukfa mishum demiskav lelechamra. They would craft these around the bodies of the animal in a way that was customizable. And if it didn't fit the animal well, it would create for an injury. That is the language of demiskav lelechamra. It will hurt the animal. It'll cause some kind of damage. Rashi gives the French word or whatever that word is, but it's an injury of sorts. And therefore, what?
So it's a little I know about animals.
Who knew? Yeah, passion. Yeah. Absolutely bad. Like dice hanging off the horns, you know. Absolutely. Amazing. So that's what the Gemara says. That's why the case of Ukav, even though it's external to the body, but we still use it as a simen. The reason why we still use it as a simen is because it was specific to that animal. It was formed around that animal. Perhaps we could say Caleb with clothing or with garments, you have white clothes and red clothes. A lot of people had white clothes and red clothes. That wasn't abnormal. Says the Gemara, the Gemara says we have a brisa. Let's say we find a get, and the get is tied up bekis, it's tied up in a pocket, arniki, in a wallet, a tabas with coins, we say it's all kosher. But if you're concerned about borrowing, you said a moment ago that we're very concerned about borrowing clothes, then kimatsu kosher bekis, am I kosher, nechush l'sheila. Maybe somebody borrowed your wallet, says the Gemara. I've never lent anyone my wallet, not my children, nobody. Nobody takes my wallet. So says the Gemara, Amrei kis v'arniki v'tabas lo mishal inshi. Kis v'arniki, why don't people borrow the pockets and the wallets? Mishum dimis samne, because there's some type of heebie-jeebie bad luck thing going on here. That's what the Gemara says of samne. That's what Rashi says halfway down. Menachshe v'omer sim la'odam shemashil kiso shemocher lo mazalo. It's like you're giving up your mazel. Don't ever give your wallet to someone. You're giving up your mazel. And the tabas, first of the long lines, is mishum demezayif. That is because if you give someone your ring, your signet ring, that was their John Hancock. That's what it was. So there was no other option. We'll stop right here at Lema Kitanoi. And Yitzhak Hashem will pick up tomorrow night with another blot in a little bit. Wishing you all a beautiful night.